check out our website at www.thefantasyamateurs.com.
On this edition of the Nasty Cast, we celebrate Shart Week by talking recent call-ups and demotions, closers, injuries, and bullpens. We hear from Jean-Claude Fantasy, and in our feature segment, we use ERA minus FIP to look at buy-low pitchers as we head into the second half. What is this, a fantasy baseball podcast?
Yes!
That's all we talk about on this podcast is interesting things. Jesse, go toss a potato.
Here lies Joe. He died wearing braces.
Be interesting when she has her heavy flow at times.
It's not Nick Nolte.
That damn dirty ape.
You're going to blow Arkansas?
The Hindenburger cheese.
We follow the golden rule.
I'm in a league with the Pope.
Could have been an accountant.
Replace the baseballs with hand grenades.
Thor, he's like Jesus, but for people from Norway.
Eating ain't cheating. Hello and welcome to episode 85 of the Nasty Cast Fantasy Baseball Podcast, brought to you by thefantasyamateurs.com. I'm Nathan Dawkin. You can find me on Twitter at Nathan Dawkin. I'm joined today by a man who will fight to the death over a cheese sandwich, Joe Osachi.
You got to pick your battles, and if there's anything I'd fight over, it's a cheese sandwich.
Cheese sandwich.
Or any sandwich with cheese on it, really.
Sounds kind of like a heckle.
Cheese sandwich! There's... Okay, is that, I don't know if it does, but they're just like what's the word I'm looking for? An exclamation.
Yeah, I guess.
Like those people that like try and swear, but they don't want to swear, you know, like
Mormon.
Fire truck or whatever Mormons say.
Religious people in general.
I'm just trying to think of some other good ones, you know, shut the front door.
Yeah, there's
that's
that.
Another one.
Sure. A lot of people, you just startled a lot of people out there. They're like, oh my God, he's going to swear.
Yeah. But now when I get mad, I can just yell out a cheese sandwich.
Cheese sandwich!
Yeah, that's pretty good, actually. I don't mind it. But we also have today on the podcast, it's our honor to have a man who never puts cheese on any of his sandwiches. It's Jesse Jordan. He gave me a look like, he's just like an angry look.
That's a cheese sandwich lie!
He's like, how dare you say I don't eat cheese?
How dare you?
He's offended by that.
You know what I would do if I saw a sandwich? I'd put some cheese on that bitch!
Oh, God. Why do we always end up talking about cheese? Seems like we talk about it a lot.
Is that such a bad thing, though?
No, it's a great thing, yeah.
Cheese
we could talk
is so
about,
good, though.
We could talk about Taco Bell again. I went to Taco Bell before the podcast, and I was going to get a Taco Cadilla Luperito.
Right.
And I sat in line for 25 minutes, and all I got was
trying to find out which menu item was the taco looper.
Yeah. I just...
Well, you get there, and I mean, you got to tell the guy, you got to try to describe to the people what you want. Like, listen, I want 3 tortillas wrapped in some beans, and then throw some more cheese on it, and then put a hard shell around that. Okay. Then deep fry it and put some enchilada sauce on it. We'll call it a day.
That's usually how I order a Taco Bell, yeah. Or else you say I'll have a number 4. Right.
After last
way.
Week's episode,
and then
I
it leads
spent
to a number 2.
All week planning my route to Taco Bell, and I finally achieved it this weekend.
What'd you get?
And I got the, I don't even know what I got. I got the, it said $6 and it showed 3 things up there and
I don't even know what I got.
And I said,
was it that,
what
did
I
order?
That and a Dorito Loco Taco, please.
Was
it
that quesadilla or the like double dia thing?
No, it wasn't double dia. It was like,
double
there
dia?
Was a burrito involved.
Like I said, they make up names all the time.
What's the,
I mean, that's just flat out talking about
the
boobs
grilled,
right there.
What's the grilled tortilla with cheese around it with the hard shell taco inside of it. I had one of those.
Crunchwrap Supreme?
No. No. It's a Guadalupe or something like that.
Guadalupe.
That's what it is.
Guadalupe. Anyway, so
well, there's
I had
a
that,
quesarito.
And then I had a... I don't think I had a quesarito either.
Those
anyways,
are,
it was 3 things that I got, plus a bag full of chips with cheese, plus an extra taco.
Life is good.
Oh,
I always get the Mexican pizza.
I was... So
good stuff.
Full after that.
Yeah, I mean, I've most places that you go, like just restaurants in general, it doesn't have to be fast food. You kind of have your typical orders, you know, where you get the same thing every time. Like
not Taco Bell.
Not at Taco Bell. I don't know. I don't know. I pull up and I'm like, what am I? I have no idea.
You never know.
You never
know.
Then
I order.
You never know what their new thing's going to be.
Well, yeah. That, and I order like one of five different things.
Me too. I'll be like, I'll have one. Yeah.
Looking all over the menu.
And it's pretty cheap, dude. Most things are like $1.50.
Well, all of it basically is just tortilla and cheese. And
that's why they don't do the sides. Like, so because that way they can sell more of their
What they used to have, maybe they still do, I don't know, like, you get little fried potatoes with sour cream and stuff, those are really good. I don't know if they still have those.
They're
I don't think they do.
Taco John's makes the best old days, but
well yeah
anyways you know, like all this fast food talk kind of takes me back to Shark Week, you know.
It fits right in.
It
doesn't
fits
it
right in.
We'll get there. You have to bring it up already.
Oh, I think we're there already.
Oh great.
Wait, no, we haven't done anything, but yeah, I'll bring, well, we'll come back to fast food here. Do a little foreshadowing.
Hashtag foreshadowing.
Yeah, we got some house cleaning to do first.
What do you get? I think we've foreshadowed so much at this point, we should probably call it five shadowing.
Just
I thought you were gonna call it shadow.
No, I thought that joke was just gonna get totally murdered, and then you guys laughed.
You should say that again because that was really funny.
No,
five shadowing.
Rewind the podcast if you want to hear it again.
I guess Periscope would be nice right now, so they could, people can see me burying my face in my hands.
They didn't like the joke.
Hashtag five shadows.
Jesus.
I think this show's been going on for 6 minutes, roughly. And we've already named the podcast. Mm. Five shadows.
Just
five shadows.
How often do you five shadow? Email us, thefantasyamateurs@gmail.com, or you could tweet us at fantasyamateurs. Go ahead and do that, if you would. We still got some t-shirts left at thefantasyamateurs.com. And, of course, if you like our podcast, please, God, go rate and review the podcast on iTunes. And apparently you can do that on Stitcher as well. So I would recommend that.
Yeah, do that. I don't know if we've got a Stitcher review because I don't have Stitcher.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
We have one Stitcher review.
Really? Well, is it positive?
Yeah.
Who's it from?
You.
You. This from Jesse.
I would never rate my own podcast.
No, of course not.
What are you talking about?
He had this look on his face.
I would never do that.
Okay.
Oh, God.
There's an opportunity here coming soon. We'll talk about it next week's podcast, the first week of July, because July has been deemed Nasty Cast Awareness Month.
Well, actually, that wasn't even our decision. The national government did that.
Yes, they came in and said, you guys need to promote Nasty Cast Awareness, and you need to become more popular, and the only way to do that is rely on your listeners.
Well, I think it was
the only way to get your listeners motivated is to reward them.
I guess.
They don't realize how nasty the cast can be.
Yes. And I say July, but it might be January of next year, too.
Either way.
That's why we're waiting till next week.
It'll be a J month.
I just realized that we hadn't officially decided on that yet or not. So.
Do we ever officially decide on anything?
No, we kind of fly by the seat of our pants.
That's true.
Yeah. Hashtag six shadowing.
We're already moving up in the world to six shadowing.
Yep. Light speed now.
Congrats to us.
Ludicrous speed.
Oh, man.
We did want to say happy trails to Chris McBrien of the Dear Mr. Fantasy podcast, who's been a dear friend of ours ever since, I don't know, several years ago. Oh, not quite since our inception, because we didn't talk to anybody else in the industry for the first year.
Well, I mean, not really by our choice. It was more by their choice. Right. They didn't know who we were or care.
Right. Why would they? Mm-hmm. Or should they? Still, that's the case, frankly.
Yeah, they don't, and they shouldn't.
Right, exactly. So, but he's leaving that podcast, and it's apparently...
And he's joining us?
No. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be a great announcement? Yeah.
Welcome to the show, Chris McBrien, our new host.
Wouldn't that be funny if he just popped in, and he's like, hey, guys.
he's
sitting right over there drinking a Kokanee.
He will be back, because someday we're going to do 80s comedies.
I guarantee you we could get him on once and a we'll month or whatever.
And we don't even have to have him talk fantasy baseball. We can have him talk. Just movies.
Well, we could just have him on for bullshit. He would do it. He's more than willing to come and talk about movies or whatever we wanted to have him on. But
absolutely.
But it's a sad day, and you know, I think all three of us have reached out to him and said congrats on his run at the show. That show obviously now is one of the most popular, you know, smaller podcasts. It's not on CBS or ESPN, and that was his podcast. He invented it. He started it. He built it.
Yeah.
It did, and it's impressive. And
they talk about it a lot. I mean, I'm sure everybody who listens to this, or close to everybody who listens to this,
I'd say
the Fantasy Baseball Podcast, listen to the DFF. And I mean, they, like they said, he paved the way for independent podcasts. So,
but the important thing now is that we can now take over the mantle of the most famous Canadian podcast. Because he was always kind of in the way, and everyone thinks we're Canadian anyway.
Right.
So now we can just take it over. Like, we're Canada's favorite son.
South Canadians.
We're from South. We used to live in North Dakota.
Just shipped.
We're just going to change it, and now we live in South Canada.
Our T-shirts will be officially like international by tomorrow.
Nice.
I finally shipped off a T-shirt.
Did you go to the post office and
do it?
Our podcast
listener. Yeah.
How much was it?
It was like a little $9.
That's not bad.
A little bit over $9. Mm. So not so bad to ship.
Too bad we're not endorsed by Stamps.com.
Literally, oh, yeah. We have.
I mean, if you think about it, Stamps.com really dropping the ball. Only podcast in the world hosted by
two. You know, if we still lived in Mina, it might have been worth just driving up there and giving it to them.
True.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you want to meet at the Peace Guards?
Yeah, we could have done that. Thrown it over the border.
Have a Molson.
Yeah, the Peace Guards. International Peace Guards. For all the non-North Dakotan and Manitobans.
Yep.
Out there that the International Peace Gardens resides in, what was it, north of Dunseith, North Dakota?
I don't even know. Yeah, I've been there, but I can't remember.
That's a frightening area out there in Dunseith.
Oh, I thought you meant at Peace Gardens. It's mainly just flowers.
Yeah,
oh,
not too far south.
Pretty
the
peaceful.
Peace Gardens is one of the most haunted places in the world. I'm trying to think what the it's an old tuberculosis.
Oh, that's Sanhaven?
Sanhaven.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good stuff.
I did not know that.
Dunseith, yeah, there's people died while I was when I went to college and in a town not that far away.
Sure.
People died at like going out there and running around. Yeah,
the guy that fell down the elevator shaft.
Yes, and it was actually a kid.
A young kid. I think I heard that just because Nate told me. But
last Halloween I really wanted to go down there up there, I suppose, as it were.
It's practically in Canada. Like it's literally 6 miles away.
Giancarlo Baum. There it is. Anyway, on from haunted sanitariums to more important things. And, I mean, we mentioned it at the top. It's Shark Week. Always coincides with Shark Week. Please, it's time. We need to spread the word. Raise shark awareness.
Yes.
Shark awareness.
Internationally. Shark awareness, if you will. Hashtag shark awareness. But more importantly, hashtag save the khakis. Because you can't. Sharting is dangerous business. It can ruin your life.
In honor of shart awareness, I have decided to eat fast food every day this week.
Mm.
You know, and then I will tweet about my shart stories, or at least post something on Facebook about them. So
nice.
The key here is to save the khakis.
Yeah, and, I mean, it is, I
raise
forgot
money.
To say.
Every dollar that I raise, people send me donations and whatever.
Right, yeah.
It'll go to save the khakis.
And we're also sponsored by Taco Bell, so I'm eating nothing but bean burritos for the remainder of the week for free from Taco Bell.
That would be like a whole week of Taco Bell. Like, do you think you could survive?
Oh, God. We're going to find out.
I think if I was just single and lived by myself, I think that would pretty much be what I did.
Yeah.
You know, just like, Taco Bell again. So
that whole NBA final story where you're in the first half, that would be like half your day.
Oh, yeah. Basically, that would be all I did.
Right.
I suppose we could probably move on to...
Yeah, we're going to hear an advertisement to raise Shark Week awareness and then get into What's in a Box.
I was in the elevator all by myself. I had a lot of broccoli with dinner the night before, so I was pretty gassy. Since I was all alone, I decided to let one fly. I accidentally sharted in my freshly pressed khakis. It was the worst day of my life. I got fired for the poop and turned to a life of crime, stealing all the laxatives in the world so I could dump them into the city's water supplies and make everyone poop their pants too, so they could feel the pain I felt that day. I was shot to death as I dumped the laxatives into the Albuquerque water supply, and then I went to hell for sharting.
Shart Week. Save the khakis.
What's in a box? What's in a box?
All right. We are here to discover what is in the box. And we are going to go to our first tweet here from Barry Baker on Twitter, at BarryBaker8664, says, guys, can you include this question on the show? Michael Wacha or Yordano Ventura in a 12-team dynasty league? They're both on the up, whatever that means.
They're both on the what?
On the up.
Sure they are. Is that like a British
thing? Can you include this question on the show?
Is that on the up, eh? All right.
They're on the up and up, I say.
Blimey!
Blimey!
Is that a
I was doing again? So well.
You were... I don't know about that, but... So...
What do you prefer? You're an adventurer Michael Wacha.
Poppycock, I say.
Poppycock.
I think it gets worse and worse every time we do it. I do love your laugh, though. I'm not going to lie. Anyway. You know what I really liked British-wise was Sherlock.
Never watched it.
Oh, man. That's good. Barry Baker. You brought this up before. Have I? No, not on the podcast.
I could have swore you brought up the British version of Sherlock, because they have Sherlock on CBS.
That's called Elementary.
Well, yeah, but it's based off the same.
It's concept. Not anywhere near. I think we were about TV show. Maybe one of our TV show episodes I did bring it up, but it's really good. Barry Baker, tweet at Jesse Jordan. Let him know. I assume you watch it because you're British. But anyway, what were we talking about?
I've heard really good things about it.
Oh, it's great.
Yordano Ventura or Michael Wacha.
You know who I'd take over both of them is Benedict Cumberbatch.
Of course.
The star of Sherlock.
That goes without saying.
Yeah, so anyway, if you can't get Benedict Cumberbatch, I go Wacha. I don't like Yordano Ventura in general, but there was some preseason hope that like he would get the Ks up this year, maybe be able to strike out a batter per inning, and instead it's gone the other way. He's down to 6.6 strikeouts per nine. I mean, it's still early in the season. That could go back up, but I've never liked him, and despite the fact that he throws really hard, he's just not a strikeout pitcher. Strikeout minus walk percentage is only 6%. That's bad.
It's really bad.
And Wacha, and this is Dynasty League trade, too, and I know years ago when I talked about Dynasty pitchers, I said I liked Wacha because, you know, his main weapon is the changeup, and you'd think a guy throwing a lot of changeup would be less likely to have arm injuries, but then he had shoulder injuries.
Yeah.
But anyway, I mean, neither of them are going to be aces, but I think Wacha has a better chance of being like a solid number three for you.
Yeah, I was definitely higher on, well, I guess between the two. I'm not sure. I'd have to go back and look at my ranks between, you know, Wacha and Ventura before the season started, but I definitely agree that it's Wacha for me in this case. I did like, the strikeout potential for Yordano coming into the year, but like you said, he's gone completely backwards. Swinging strike rate is down from 10.4% last year to 7.6% this year. Just a huge drop. Never had much control. Only 57% first pitch strike rate. And he really hasn't changed that much as far as his pitch usage either, so it's kind of weird. But yeah, definitely. I mean, it seems like Yordano, as soon as he gets in hot water like this, he seems to pitch better.
Well, yeah, I think he's, to me, he's kind of like a streaky pitcher, which is unusual.
Yeah,
like,
that's weird to say.
He goes on that generally doesn't happen, but it seems like he'll have these stretches where he's dominant, and he did at the end of last season, and then, I don't know if it's all mental, if he's just something in his head where he gets something where, I don't know, but he'll go on really good stretches where he strikes people out, and he can have complete game shutouts with 10 strikeouts, and then,
yeah.
But I just don't trust him, and I think a lot of it is the inconsistency.
Yeah, and it's definitely a plus for Wacha to pitching in the National League as opposed to the American
League.
Yeah,
that's true.
You don't have the DH. You know what? We sort of had a slew of these shortish pitchers come up at the sort of the same time with Ventura and Marcus Stroman, Luis Severino.
Severino, yeah.
You know, and it's sort of embarrassing, like the. When these little guys are coming up and they're throwing gas, everybody puts Pedro comp on them,
sure, yeah.
And you just have to roll your eyes like, oh my God, nobody's going to be Pedro.
Happen.
It's not going to happen.
Although there is the next Pedro in the minor leagues in Boston.
Exactly, yes.
I forget his name.
Anderson Espinosa.
Yeah, yeah.
He is going to be the next.
I buy that one.
He's only
by
4
the way.
Feet tall, but he's going to succeed at the major league level. But seriously, like, all of these guys have not been good.
No, and it's gone just, badly for all of them.
Yeah.
And I will say I was down on Stroman preseason, and I don't think a lot of people were high on
him. Very high on him after he showed last year.
Yeah. And I didn't like him. I didn't like him then, and I don't like him now.
I don't like him.
Actually, come to think of it, he's pretty good.
Yeah, he might be the best guy I've ever seen.
He's probably my favorite pitcher.
Yay.
I love him.
That was a reverse Statler and Waldorf.
Reverse Statler and Waldorf. You can do it both ways, people.
That's true. It's not a one-way street.
Nope. You guys should have let me just play the drop.
Yeah, we should have probably is better.
I could have found a reverse.
Could always do that.
I think they did go both ways.
Oh!
Hey-o!
Switch hitters. All right, so our second question is from our buddy Tortellini on Twitter at Tortowl.
We don't even try and say what his real name is anymore.
No, it doesn't matter.
We just say Tortellini.
He asks us to please rank these guys the rest of the season as possible trade targets. He's looking to make some moves. Lester, Kluber, Archer, and Carlos Martinez. What say you, Joseph?
Well, you did tweet out your ranks, and I think you did go Lester, Kluber, Martinez, and then Archer. The easiest one for me is I just got Archer dead last. The home run problem. I loved him last year and was really high on him actually, and he just can't solve this home run problem this year. Might just be a lost year for him. Maybe go out and get him in a dynasty league because the value is so low, and I still think there's talent there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that we saw his career year last year, and he's still a guy who just leans so heavily on that slider. I mean, he has started using that changeup a lot more this year. Maybe that's part of his problem. But, I mean, he's actually replaced some of his fastball with changeup usage. Looking at it now, he's throwing his fastball less than in prior years, still using that slider 35% of the time. Whereas the changeup, he's throwing that twice as much as compared to previous years. So, still getting a ton of swinging strikes, but like you said, he's just getting lit up all the time. Too many walks, too many home runs.
It's an epidemic right now in Major League Baseball. I mean, everybody's been talking about it. The home runs are at a ridiculous. Like the outings, it was Collette that was giving those stats. The outings where we've had pitchers giving up multiple home runs they're like 20 outings away from the all time. Like it's ridiculous the amount of home runs that are hitting this season. So guys that are that's like their bugaboo, which like Archer and Stroman. So, they're the guys that are getting murdered the worst, and I don't think that's a coincidence. I think it's just, for whatever reason, everybody's swinging for the fences right now. I mean, I don't have a reason for it, but I just think when that's your problem, it's a big problem.
Yeah, I don't have in front of me, but I think Eduardo Rodriguez, when he was up, gave up 9 home runs and just over 20 innings.
Yeah. It's a good thing these pitchers didn't pitch in the 90s.
Roughly 100 in a season.
What's that, Jesse?
It's a good thing these pitchers didn't pitch in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Or the home run record would be in the hundreds.
It's crazy. Of course, Chris Bryant, 3 bombs, 2 doubles last night.
You just said that just because you wanted to talk about Chris Bryant.
But, yep.
Anyway, the only question is, so I think last is Archer, third is Martinez. I don't have any.
Yeah, Lester and Kluber are definitely in a tier of their own here, but Lester and Kluber. It is pretty close for me. They both pitch deep into games. Again, sort of the NL tiebreaker and also a better team with the Cubs for me, so more wins in a standard 5x5.
Kluber, once again, just like last season, is underpitching his peripherals by about, or underpitching, I don't know.
Underperforming.
Whatever you want
to
say.
Compared to his peripherals.
So once again, and it's like the same thing as last year, kind of a repeat. So, I mean, it may be there's something they do in Cleveland where that just causes their pitchers to do that by half a run.
Yeah, Francisco Lindor was supposed to chop everybody's ERAs down.
Certainly didn't happen.
Certainly not.
But I'd say Kluber still has the strikeout upside, and I do think he still has the higher upside, but Lester's safer. So I don't to me, if you're doing a rank, they would be back to back in pitcher rankings for me. So whichever way you want to go, to back.
Back to back to back.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. All right, we're going to get to the news.
The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball.
All right, of course, if you want to put something in our box, you can always email us, thefantasyamateurs@gmail.com, or find us on Twitter @fantasyamateurs. Forgot to mention that.
I always get giddy when someone throws something in our box.
I know.
It's exciting.
It makes you feel all warm and fuzzy.
I literally drop everything to find out what was just put in our box.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. I do. I drop everything.
Your trousers?
Sometimes I... Yeah, them too.
There you go.
A deuce.
I stop driving. I just pull over right there to read it.
Safety first, I always say. Yeah. Happy Lucas Giolito Day! Hey, you finally got the call with Steven Strasburg heading to the disabled list with a back/rib issue. What do we think about Lucas Giolito? Obviously, he's got a ton of hype, but are we going to see him for more than two or three starts while Strass is on the DL?
I don't have any inside information. It might shock you that I don't, because I'm pretty tight with the Nats. But I wasn't able to pry anything out of their front office brass.
Yeah, yeah, you guys are tight.
I know. I'm trying to think of what their GM's name is. Embarrassing, as we're close friends.
Yeah.
But either way.
Zimmerman or something?
Sure. Yeah, me and Zimmerman. Ryan. He's first base /GM. But anyway.
I can't think of it either.
I don't know. Who cares? But so I have no clue. Like, it could be two stars, three stars, whatever. But it also could be 10, and it just doesn't matter, because if he really was like the number one prospect in baseball right now. So you just go get him. See what happens. Yeah. I don't have any analysis on it. It's just, and I don't even know much about him. Like, I don't want, he's about to pitch right now, so I'm about to find out.
Hopefully, if the weather cooperates. Oh, he's a real big guy, 6'6", 255.
Well, he's a lot taller than that
big
guy.
Dude.
Yeah.
He's on, the game is just starting right now.
I slid him into my starting lineup this morning.
I own him in the podcast league. However, obviously the news didn't break until late yesterday that he was going to be starting.
It's a weekly league.
It's a weekly league, so he is still on my bench. As is,
well, I hope for my case he's really good, but he sucks for you. So
gonna, it's gonna be rough. I don't know.
Try to figure this out here.
I don't know how that's gonna happen.
Well, that's gonna happen, but I'm gonna figure out a way.
Yeah, he's got plus fastball, delete velocity, plus curveball, solid changeup. Now that's kept his splits from being outrageous in the minors recently. So I think he could be a solid number three fantasy wise, like right now, like right away. I don't think he'll be elite just yet. Maybe we'll look stupid by the end of this game, depending on what he does. But yeah, I am kind of worried that, I guess first of all, it's weird to me that they called him up at all for just an injury replacement as opposed to a definite rest of season thing.
Well, the one thing I heard is that Gio Gonzalez is definitely not a lock to remain in the rotation.
He's been really bad lately.
Comes back, so. Yeah.
And then, I mean, you can't always count against injury either. And Tanner Roark, I still can't believe how good he's been this year. It's been
if he's your number five starter, though, just that's good enough.
Just
shut up and let him be your number five starter.
By far.
He'd be the number one starter on the Twins. So.
It's just kind of weird to me that they just didn't bring up like A.J. Cole or some.
Well,
sort of
so
crap
maybe it
that.
Does mean that they do have the intent of him being up for I don't know.
Well, they called up Trey Turner for a weekend.
That's true. So maybe
they played
him
one game
dumb.
And sat him for two and sent him back down. Yeah, yeah. Their top prospect. Well, not top, but
wasn't he 4-for-4 too?
Yes, he was 4-for-4 in that game, and then he sat for two games, and then got sent back to AAA.
Yeah, to walk to a blue. But either way, it doesn't matter though. Like whatever you think, because unless you're, like I like I said, I'm really good friends with GM/first baseman Ryan Zimmerman, and I don't know. So I don't know how you would know, but you can't. If he's really out there, you might as well take a shot on him.
Yeah.
If it's a shallow league, what the hell? And if it's a deep league, he was probably already owned.
Mike Rizzo, that's what it was.
Hey, Rizzo!
Hey, why don't they own that today?
Jeez, how could we not go right into that one?
They traded him for a meatball sub.
That's what it is. They were going to call up meatball sub from AAA.
But then they ate him.
So you can't use him anymore. That's too bad.
Oh, man. That one got me good. Good work, Joe.
Do you think we're at, because we've been laughing at our own jokes a lot on this episode. Are we reaching Razzball levels of laughing at ourselves?
Be. I don't know. This is only my third beer. I don't think I'm drunk
Let
yet.
Me get Jose Canseco on the wire here.
Yeah, I got to call up Jose.
Jesus. Oh, man. Yeah, he definitely needs to be owned in all leagues just based on his upside. I don't know how long he's going to stay up. I think it's weird that they brought him up already. I think that he's going to be back down when Strasburg
is
back.
His whip is way high right now.
Oh, yeah?
This is very topical.
Oh, he hasn't even got anybody out yet.
Oh,
at the moment. It's infinity.
It's infinity whip.
It's as high as it ever could be.
It's not good, boys.
One hit, and he hasn't even got it out yet.
All right.
Well, so drop him just because you don't want
to. Drop him. If you happen to be periscoping this episode, you should drop him right now.
Yeah, because if you're playing in a league that has
for the rest of you, you better hold on.
If you're playing in a league with no whip, but right now Infinity, I mean, that's pretty bad whip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta whip it good.
I know.
Okay, another call-up, AJ Reed. Slightly outshadowed by Lucas Giolito just because it's his day. By the way, harkening back to last year, it seems like there are an inordinate amount of days that we record this podcast.
I know,
the same day as some top prospect gets called up.
Well, and then I looked at it.
It's planned.
Well, I was actually listening to one.
Good work from a good producer.
Well good done, Jesse. Yep. But there was also, we were doing our BS thing, and I was listening to some old episodes, and we actually talked about that, and we did Sano Day and Buxton Day. And
yeah.
Couple other days, whatever.
It's crazy. Just never in a gray day, I think.
Yeah. I've been working hard for a few years, Joe. Thanks for finally recognizing it.
It's impressive.
Been working
Thanks,
for
guys.
The weekend.
Everybody's working for A.J. Reed.
Working for who?
A.J. Reed.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Who's called up by the Houston Astros?
Oh, yeah, bro, he sure was.
Yes, so. What do you think he's going to do the rest of the season? Where would you rank him amongst first base DH players? You know what? If we're going to rank people... I think we should go to a dude feud.
I'm the dude, so that's what you call me, you know? That or his dudeness or duder or, you know, El Duderino.
All right, so, Joe, rest of the season, A.J. Reed or Paul Goldschmidt?
Yeah, I think I got to go A.J. Reed just because...
Bold words!
Yeah, I mean, I like how you... This is a thing you do now. It's just you start off with the number one guy, and I like it.
Is he number one? You know who actually is the number one first baseman right now?
Will Myers.
Will Myers.
Yeah, that's dumb.
What the hell?
That's a... I mean, you should be patting yourself on the back on that one. I told you to pat yourself on the back.
Hashtag dude.
Isn't Will's Myers on a 90s sitcom? He's got to be in there somewhere.
On a sitcom?
That's definitely got to be a character...
Sound. There's Mike Myers.
Google it.
Honestly,
sure, he's
not
a closer. He seems pretty safe.
Yeah,
he could close too. I'm sure.
He has been really injury prone the last couple of years. So
there was Brett Myers, I think, that was a closer.
I don't know.
Anyway, back to baseball.
There's Brett Boone.
Aaron Boone.
Shut up, Joe. Shut up. Who is the dad again? I'm just gonna name players until you say something.
All right, we've established
he's ahead of Goldschmidt.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So obviously you're not going to go Goldschmidt.
Yeah, I don't even know who Goldschmidt is.
Goldschmidt, Ortiz, Encarnacion, Rizzo. These are all guys who are well ahead of him. Chris Davis.
I mean, I don't like Chris Davis, but I can't put him ahead. He's still
Joey Votto.
Yeah, Votto's a stud now. He's on fire.
AJ Reed or Steven Piscotty.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Sort of different skill sets. I think Piscotty profiles for more average, much less power.
I mean, I think of the Pisc as in the outfield ranks because that's where he plays for the most part. Although they move him around.
Yeah,
I take Piscotty still. I'm not gonna. You're gonna have to go lower for me.
Okay.
I mean, Brandon Moss is a name I just saw on there, and I think Reed. I'd take over him because. Playing time. I assume they're going to give A.J. Reed a decent amount of playing time.
I imagine, yeah, they'll give him a good long look there. The thing with Reed, obviously, he doesn't hit lefties a lick. So
it sounds like Brandon Moss.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have his splits right here. I looked it up a while ago. He's hitting something like 200. Maybe it was even lower than that against lefties in the minors
this
year.
That's not good.
Yeah, really bad for his whole career, really. So it's sort of... Justin Bour profile going to sit against lefties. Who else just came to mind? Lucas Duda, who was kind of a guy that I was in on this year. But they always sit him against lefties. So, how about Freddie Freeman?
I'd take Freeman. Like,
even as bad as that Braves lineup has been.
It doesn't, man. I mean, Freddie Freeman is the only
good
thing
in the Braves lineup. He's got 28 RBI right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, but he does have 13 homers, and his OBP is 369. Like, there's too much good there. I can't take him. He's played like one game.
All right. Well, let's move down the list. Brandon Belt.
I think it's close to Brandon. He profiles like a Brandon Belt type of a player to me, so that's close. But I'd still take Belt over him. He's only got 10 home runs, so nobody's talking about him.
Yeah.
But 403 OBP for Brandon Belt.
Yeah, he's really upped his walk rate this year.
Yeah.
Even in standard batting average.
Look at Brandon Belt's numbers. I mean, he's 54 strikeouts, 44 walks.
He's been like the breakout this year that nobody's talking about.
Yes, because I just looked at it like I had no idea how good he's been. So I take Belt.
We're moving down the list here. How about Victor Martinez, who has been ridiculous so far this year?
I mean,
I shouldn't have brought him up. I was dumb on my part.
Well, I love Victor Martinez, but I still got to take Victor, but that could be an injury waiting to happen and all that different stuff. So,
okay, so we're actually moving pretty far down the list here.
Oh yeah, I think he's going to be 15 to 20 in the book.
That's about where I think we're about a 15 at best right now. So, which I think is fair. A lot of people sort of overblew him, I think, coming into the season. That sounded bad. I mean, I've never been overblown in my life. It's always been the right amount.
I've always been underblown, yeah.
Yes. Perhaps the proper amount of blowing.
I was going to say, underblown is probably a better way to describe the Nasty Cast podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
This has been such a shitty podcast so far. Oh, my God. What are we doing?
Another worst episode ever.
Yep. We keep topping ourselves week in and week out.
Impressive.
Boy, oh boy. But yeah, I mean, I'm not counting on me.
That was a loud laugh.
Jesse's dying. Oh, my God.
Okay.
Yeah, thank God.
It was loud in real life.
It was. What was I going to say now? I don't even know. He was sort of one of the best offensive prospects just because last year we sort of used them all and it kind of cleaned out the upper levels of the minors. So he got all this attention sort of undeservedly. I mean, he's always kind of been my guy ever since he was drafted. Yeah. I don't know if you remember me talking him up. But.
Well, you like guys that are bad at defense and good at that.
Big fat guys that swing a big stick, Joe.
Big old stick.
Yeah. So he was my guy. So,
but yeah, I think like,
and he also shares a birthday with me.
Well, then there's no reason not to.
It's like we're the same person, except he's a half a foot taller and 100 pounds heavier.
And good at something.
And actually good at something. Fuck you, Joe.
That was me. Yeah. Sorry about that. But, you know, like, in the, you know, like Carlos Santana versus him, I think that's, that. You know, maybe he could be a Carlos Santana type. Carlos Santana has also been very good. He has
in a standard league or a points/OBP league?
I think in OBP, Santana is just like...
He's a lot better, obviously.
Yeah, but in a batting average league, then it's kind of close. But yeah. I mean, Santana has 16 homers and 4 steals. That guy's got wheels on him. He steals those bags.
That's true, hitting leadoff.
Yeah. Had 11 steals last year.
So weird. All right. This ticked me off, so I wanted to talk about it a little bit. Oswaldo Arcia, formerly of the Minnesota Twins, was released, DFA'd, whatever they did with him. He winds up in Tampa Bay in exchange for a player to be named later.
Well, I'll take it.
Yeah. Good old PTBNL.
Yeah, I mean,
we get that guy a lot.
Yeah, we do, yeah. He's never succeeded.
Twins fans,
we are always waiting on that player to be named later.
When are we going to get the player to be named later?
When's he
going to
come up
from
the minors?
Quote unquote player.
This is like our sixth player to be named later.
Is he really a player?
Have they actually named him yet?
No.
Seriously? He's batting.
It could be months.
Did he already have a home run?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. He hit a.
So how is that even legal?
It's legal.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
Well, I know, but like I always thought the player to be named later was.
They have a list of the teams have already agreed on a list of like 5 players or whatever, and they
can choose one of the 5
later.
They're like, we'll take any of those 5 guys.
Yeah, literally.
And normally the Twins are like,
they try and wait to see what the worst one is.
Just list your tough. Here's the 5 shittiest players you got. Let us know which one you want to give us. Because we're totally
so they do it.
Guy.
There was some kind of deal where I heard where I can't remember what the trade. It was, you know, one of those end of season dump trade. I think it was Cano, and Cano was in the Yankees made a trade, and Cano was on a list of a player to be named later, and the team didn't pick him.
Oh,
boy.
They took a different guy, and then Cano turned into
that happens.
Cano,
yeah. Cano, wow. But I just it's so freaking stupid of the Twins. Like if they don't clean out their entire front office, why would you get rid of Oswaldo Arcia? Who, I mean, he was out of options. Granted, he hadn't been very good this year. But you have guys
back-to-back
like
walk-offs.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
it was early in the season.
He
but
got
still.
Worse since then, but he had shown some plate improvement. I mean, obviously he was still striking out a ton.
So was half the team.
Yeah, but the fact that instead of just sending down Byron Buxton or Max Kepler, who have plenty of options left, and just get them some more AAA seasoning, instead they decide to keep them up in what is clearly a lost season, just to get rid of Oswaldo Arcia. We're just saying we're not going to get anything at all for him. We just want him off our roster.
Well, they must hate him, man. I've heard there's some makeup problems with him.
Sure, but still,
he's
always
smearing
his value.
Lipstick and stuff. He's got makeup problems.
Sure.
Yeah. Gets it on the teeth and everything.
See what you did there.
That's makeup problems right there.
A lot of makeup problems.
He wears the wrong shade of eyeshadow.
Not to interject on a huge off-the-topic podcast here with makeup, though.
Okay.
But my kid says makeup all the time.
All right.
Like, he goes and he's like, where's my makeup, Daddy? My makeup.
So he just wants
my makeup. And I get so mad because he used to go and dig in, like, Mom's makeup, like when we lived in our trailer, and he knew where that was at, and he would play with it, and Mom would... My wife, I should say.
I think
Mom.
You should probably stop that.
No, but this is the funny part is it's not that's not what he means.
What does he mean?
He means America. And he's talking about Captain America.
America.
So he grabs these circular objects, which I always thought was like he thought it was like the puffing.
He thinks it's a shield?
He thinks it's a shield and he freaking nice. Throws it at me all the time. And every other day or every 3 days he finds bigger objects to be a shield. And he even puts it on his back and he runs at me and then he just looks at me like, makeup, and he's gonna throw it at me. But he can name all the Avengers now. Hulk.
That's the most like patriotic kid ever.
Oh
that's
yeah.
Great.
But he calls it it sounds like makeup. So, I mean, forever, I was just getting mad. I was chewing my wife out, like, behind the
scenes. This kid's going to grow up and work in a beauty salon.
He's got to stop playing with makeup. He's a boy. I know you want a girl to play with, but that's a whole other, future topic.
And like, it turns out he's just Captain America.
Yeah, he loves Captain America.
Patriotic as hell.
So, sorry for...
That was funny.
I thought that would be something there.
But, boy, what... A lot of digressions here.
Well,
what were we
this podcast
about?
Was founded upon, tangents.
BS.
And since we're such local friends
podcasting.
That I had to share this story with you, and what better time to actually physically talk to you guys except for when we're recording.
That is pretty much the only time we're all in the same room.
So. True.
It is the only time we actually talk to each other.
Yeah.
Total silence the rest of the week.
You know, reveal the curtain upon the curtain upon the curtain. We actually hate each other in real life.
We never speak.
We literally only get together now because of the show.
It's kind of like a Guns N' Roses situation.
I've actually slashed all your tires, by the way.
Which is apropos.
To make
Guns
us stay
Roses.
Here longer because you lack
slash.
Friends.
Because Slash.
I think he did it. Oh yeah.
He thinks he's the Slash of the group, so he's always slashing.
Oh, he's slashing tires. Talking about slash lines and whatnot.
I'm Duff McKagan.
You're not cool enough to be Slash.
I think that's his last name.
I'm definitely Axel because I used to be skinny.
Yeah, he is that now. Grow some dreads.
Yeah, you got some nice cornrows going on. Michael Conforto has been sent down for the Metropolitans of New York, and they have called up top prospect, one of them anyway, Brandon Nimmo.
I think it's Nimmo.
I've heard both, actually.
Yeah, I have too, but it's... easier to make Finding Nemo jokes. If you
I'm surprised you didn't make a Finding Nemo joke. Like, you failed.
I did on...
he failed at the introduction.
I did that. It's passé now because I did that on satellite radio
everybody's,
on Sunday.
Everybody's done it, so...
Yeah.
But more people definitely listen to this show than they do to you on satellite radio.
That's true. By the way, that's... sadly, I will no longer be on satellite radio on Sundays. They're switching to football already.
Really? Well, maybe they need me.
Yeah, maybe they'll have
I'll let them know.
Well, you're doing you're going to do football for Fantasy Alarm anyway.
Right?
But I'm sure there's quite a few more fantasy football talkers that they can get.
It's a little more popular than baseball.
That's what they call you guys, talkers. There's some radio guy.
Guys, we need another talker. Not that we need to care about the football part, but I'm going to get back to writing the old football articles.
Oh, yeah.
I'll either rotate positions a week or just do straight DFS for the week. Try to release it by like a
there you go. We'll plug that when it gets to the season.
Anyways.
So look out for that on the Fantasy Amateurs.
I'm also going to run for president, but we'll plug that in the finale.
Sure.
So
it's a way to bury the lead there.
So anyway, what do we think of Brandon Nemo, Joe?
That's what we were talking about?
That's what we were talking about.
He's actually one of the few prospects that I owned in our Dynasty League. I'd owned him for a long time. I traded him last year, actually, as I tend to do. But, I mean, he was one of the hardest people to figure out. He's never really put up numbers. He was drafted completely on, like, upside and potential because apparently where he lived in Wyoming is, like, the only place more sparsely populated than North Dakota because they couldn't even field the baseball team where he was at because like there was his town was like seven people and two sheep.
Did that one prospect from North Dakota get drafted? I forgot to look into that.
I can't remember his name, but yeah, the dude that throws 95.
Dalton Feeney.
Yeah.
Bismarck Century grad? I actually don't know. I was trying to follow that too,
okay.
And I kept
look that up,
Googling
Jesse.
It.
We'll talk about Brandon Nemo and Michael
coached
Porto.
When I was part of the not the. Yeah, never mind. I was going to say I actually coached against that kid.
Against
I was on the opposite side, getting my ass kicked.
In baseball?
Basketball, though.
Basketball, okay. Yeah. Anyway, he throws 95, apparently. Whatever. But Nemo was never, like, so he was kind of all potential. He's never really done anything. Even his minor league numbers are less than impressive. I mean, he doesn't have a lot. He's not hit a lot of home runs in the minors. So, and he's, like, 23 now. So unless he's going to somehow put it all to, and all the potential is going to somehow show up in the majors, I just don't see it. I think he's maybe going to be a decent player, but he's not going to be a fantasy player because I don't see the counting stats.
I think he'll be more useful as a real-life player than fantasy.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a ton of power, nor a ton of speed. Maybe a little more speed than power, but mostly he's just an on-base guy. Good play
he's
discipline.
I think he'll be a good, solid player, but I don't think he's ever going to turn into a fantasy asset.
Yeah.
Or maybe he will, but it'll be like when he's 28 or 29. Really slow-developing player because like it just... Like, you know, when you literally haven't even played a lot of baseball and you get drafted, it's hard to right away get up to the show because, like, he really was drafted, like, strictly on potential. He never really did anything in high school, and I think he went straight to the minors after that.
Yeah, I think he'll be sort of a fourth, fifth outfielder this year. Better in points leagues than Roto because of the play discipline. Get on base a lot. I think the best case scenario for him is that he hits his way into like the two hole and he scores a lot of runs.
That's men always like to try and get into that two hole if they can.
You of all people would make that joke.
It's tough to get there.
Anyway, Jesse, you have that update?
Yes, Dalton Feeney was drafted.
By whom?
By the Detroit Tigers.
Ah, gross.
In the 40th round.
It's pretty
but
good.
But he was ranked a lot higher. I think.
He'll probably go to college then.
Well, he's going to SEC school, Mizzou.
So that's maybe the
that was his plan anyways. But he's getting drafted. I think he's going to school to be a pitcher.
As a 40th rounder.
But he's also got a bat. Like, he was a very good batter, too. But he pitched a couple perfect
games.
When
you throw 95, though,
I should say a couple, but I know he pitched a perfect game.
He pitched like seven.
He was a hell of a quarterback. And a very, very good basketball player.
Well, so.
So he's a three-sport athlete, and I want to say he
Athlete.
That was that slur on purpose. But, and I think he might even ran track, so.
Okay, nobody cares that much about him. So we'll move on to Jose Reyes, who is signed
with
the Metropolitans. Well, we care, obviously, but I don't think anybody else outside of North Dakota really gives a shit. So Jose Reyes, who is a little more topical, signs with the Mets. Let's re-rank shortstop, shall we?
Haven't we done this already?
I don't think so.
So you literally want to start at the top, or how do you want to do this?
Well, let's cross off a couple of them. Obviously, Machado, Bogarts,
Lindor.
Yeah, Lindor.
Desmond,
yeah. That could take over him. So that's four. Trevor Story.
Oh, man. I hate Trevor Story. I can't do it.
Different skill sets.
Yeah, it's different. But I wouldn't. Speaking of...
What do you mean we wouldn't? Which one are you taking?
I take Reyes. I just hate Trevor Story.
Really?
I don't believe in him at all.
Yeah, well... I think
he plays a core,
Story.
So that'll keep the roof...
Are you guys re-ranking Dynasty style?
No,
it's just
redraft.
Redraft.
That's boring.
The fact that...
we're talking about just rest of season value for when he comes up.
And he's like, I don't even know, because he's talking about him playing third, so he might lose shortstop, so that'd be pointless. But.
Well, he'll carry it coming in, so.
Right now he will, yeah.
So you're talking about next year.
I know. Whatever. Let's just move on with the thing. I hate Trevor Story and, like,
okay,
I'm just
well,
saying,
I would take Trevor Story.
You would?
I would.
I mean, maybe I would too, but it's only because he still gets to play in Coors, and that'll keep his batting average. Like, just the Coorsness of it will keep up, but he's just not that good.
Well, yeah, obviously his play discipline is terrible, but he's got the power. You know, 19 bombs.
Yeah.
Still inflated average, yeah, but...
Whatever.
Okay. Corey Seager.
I take Seager. I believe in him way more than Trevor Story, so...
Okay.
And Correa, obviously,
Carlos
ahead of
Correa.
Him.
Yeah.
And I take Marcus Semien over him. You know, that's a guy that I like preseason, and I'm, you know, he's hitting the bombs, and
I
like him.
Yeah. 15 bombs now.
But once you get down, you know, next up, the guys coming up like Elvis Andrus and Eugenio Suarez, and I'd take...
Would you take Andrus or Reyes?
I'd take Reyes.
Really? See, I think I would just take... I would take Andrus probably just for the stability.
I just think that once Reyes comes back, he's going to be pretty close to what he used to be. I mean...
Yeah. There is that chance, though, that he's like really rusty and maybe he's declined a little bit.
I guess, but I'm not worried about that. I think he's going to come back and, you know, it's going to be... Not, you know, a little over a half a season, so I think he can still steal 15 bases and maybe hit 5 home runs, and I think he'll hit at the top of the Mets lineup because I think he's still their best leadoff option, and I think he'll score you some runs, and I think he'll just be back end of the top 10 at shortstop.
Well, you're obviously higher on the Reyes than I am, but I hope you're right because I've been stashing him all season as friends of Dear Mr. Fantasy League.
This would have been a good double dude feud for the episode.
Yeah, it could have been. That's basically what it is.
That's basically what it is.
We already played the drop. Except for you started from the top. Never mind. Dude feuds always start from the top.
Started from the bottom. Now we're here. Anyway, did you want to, whatever date Jose Reyes comes back, do you want to bet him versus Elvis Andrus?
Yeah, sure.
Rest of the season or Elvis Andrus?
Yeah, rest
Andrus
of the season.
Gets,
from the day that Reyes gets called up.
It's really hard to do average, though. But, I mean, I guess we can't. If you want to calculate it,
we could do points.
If you ever, don't you remember Math Jeopardy and Nate over here?
I can do it, I guess. I can
how
do
bad
it.
He was, so yeah. You,
yeah, he can't do
that. You better get
that was right. Yeah, he was math. It was just, just couldn't do basic math. He couldn't add and subtract.
He couldn't follow that order.
Couldn't do anything. Fine, we'll just do 5x5, but then OBP.
OBP, yeah. Okay. Line it up.
I take Jose Reyes, by the way.
Yes, and I take, what's his name? Alvis Andrus, who I bet against earlier, you know, in the preseason.
Yeah, you don't know what the hell
you're
doing.
But in this case, no, I've got a definite value on
who do you?
That's going to be
who's
the
Crunch Berries bet about?
Ever in there. Loud noises.
That's okay.
Who'd I take?
Yeah, we didn't. We didn't really have a lot of oomph in that bet.
No.
It's always your fault.
You did it soft, too.
But Nate stuttered for a while there.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting his name. I have to keep looking at my phone. All right. Moving on. Quick little hit here. Adam Frazier called up by the Pirates. He was a guy who actually had in the Dynasty stash away for a while just because I traded away all my good prospects. And so I had to fill with somebody. And he was sort of interesting. Big speed guy. He stole, I think, 17 bases in the minor leagues, but he was also caught like 15 times or something like that.
So, but yet you're calling him a big speed guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
he's not like a burner, but if he's going to contribute anything, it's going to be that. I just think that he's probably not an ad right now because I don't think he's going to get a ton of playing time, but he's got really good play discipline, and he just seems like kind of one of those guys that sneaks up on you. You know, a little power, a little speed, maybe like a Joe Panic or something like that. So I think for dynasty purposes, he's a lesser prospect that maybe is worth a stash at this point. Now that he's, you know, sort of seeing some time. And it's not like that he's got a lot of roadblocks in Pittsburgh as far as the infield goes with, like, Josh Harrison and, you know, Jordy Mercer.
Well, Jordy Mercer, yeah. Who somehow still plays.
I don't know. He's actually been fairly decent this year. Out of the blue. But anyway, I think he's worth a mention anyway for deeper dynasty leagues to hang on to, as well as NL-only leagues. And then in the same vein, as far as speed ads go, the old Arizmendi Alcantara, who was traded to the Oakland Athletics earlier this season, has been called upon for duty.
I think it's Alcantara.
I'll punch you in the face.
I'm just basically being a dick, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This could have almost got the what's in the box drop.
Yeah, because this was a Jesse request. So.
Jesse selfish request.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'd say if you're going to get anything out of him, it is steals. Here, like Jesse pointed out, he does already have two stolen bases in his first few games.
Right, yeah, 26 in the minor leagues this season already.
So, yeah, if you're looking for some very cheap speed and you're out there in a deep league, if he's owned in 1% of leagues, I'd be surprised. So.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's still got the same profile he sort of always has, like really bad play discipline, little power, more speed.
I'm asking more dynasty value, but now that he's in the bigs, is he a...
You know, like, he was everybody's darling there a few years ago. Everybody thought that he was going to be, you know, he was this toolsy guy that could hit 20 homers and steal 25 bases, and it just didn't happen. But sometimes those guys have, you know, like, trying to think to infielder types, I don't really have any, but I always think of Carlos Gomez, who's a toolsy guy that couldn't do anything and sucked for like 5 years, and then all of a sudden in his 27,
the Twins got rid of him.
27 or 28, and he puts it all together and is great. And that could happen with Alcantara.
Yeah, he still needs to work on a base.
If he can steal 25 bases in a season, though, like nowadays, isn't that really good?
Yes, but I don't know that he's going to get that amount of playing time.
I mean, at a points league, probably not so much, but you know.
No, yeah, I think you could see him
in a roto league. He's probably got games. Value.
Yeah, like a pinch runner and stuff like that, and that's not going to do you a lot of good.
Yeah, true. So, unless your outfielder, second base, middle infield is really.
If he plays well enough that, and the A's suck, obviously, there's bad, you know, that's a bad offensive team. Yeah. So if he plays well enough to get everyday playing time, or what is everyday playing time on Oakland, who's one of the platooniest teams
right.
there is, that just they never really play again. But, you know, they're still, I think they still play Eric Sogard occasionally, and it's like, if you're playing that guy, you can just, you know, one of the worst stuff. And he wears those glasses. He just looks like a dork out there.
That's his thing.
Yeah, he's a dork. But anyway, so if he can play his way into semi-regular playing time, then, yeah, I think he could steal 20 bases and be an asset. So, yeah.
Sounds good to me. All right.
Hey, you.
We're going to move on to closer calamities.
Watch out for that first step. It's a doozy.
I'm going to do it again, and I'm going to do it right this time.
That's what I told you to do.
Trevor Rosenthal is out in St. Louis as the closer. Who's in?
I was hoping Jesse would answer, but he didn't. I was just waiting for it.
It's Kevin Seacrest.
Yep.
Ryan
and Kevin Seacrest.
Sure.
Is that just that's your platoon. Hope, eh? The new platoon.
One's
the
a righty.
That actually was funny.
One's a righty, the other one's a lefty.
Yeah.
And you don't know which one you're going to face.
Yeah. I
It's literally the same guy.
With Seacrest, you're always worried about just that hair, and he's wearing all that makeup, so there's a lot of shine coming off his face. So he's an intimidating figure out there on the mound.
You're all about that makeup.
And I'm sure that the manager will tell you till he's blue in the face that it's a committee and Ryan Seacrest is going to get half the opportunities. But
very good. Alkaline Trio song, by the way. Blue in the face.
Okay. Glad you're pitching in with the music stuff lately. We know that that's the only music you listen to, apparently.
Yep.
But I just... Seguin O has been so good that I just don't believe that they're going to not let him be the closer. He's one of the greatest closers in the history of Japan or something like
Korea.
That. Yeah, that too. So yeah. It's like he's a closer and he's dominating in the majors. So why would you put him in a committee?
Yeah. No, I think that O is the guy, like you said, with the
I
lefty.
Wish I owned him more play because, you know, I mean.
Yeah.
There's actually a decent amount of the leagues that I'm, like in the podcast league or in a dynasty league. Like he's been owned all year.
Right.
And he's been putting up great stats, so no reason to drop him.
Yeah. Yeah, he quickly worked his way towards the back of that bullpen. And, yeah, elite numbers, 1.66 ERA. Let's see what
he's striking out well over a batter per inning. He's got, like, 56 strikeouts.
34.9% K rate.
Yeah, he's been dominant.
It's ridiculous. So, yeah, I mean, he's giving, you know, Rosenthal a breather, quote unquote, or whatever, you know, and then he'll look to reinstate, whatever. I think that would be more plausible in more circumstances if you didn't have a Sung Hwan Oh who's taking over your job.
Exactly.
But, like, I have no doubt that he's, you know, you get guys who sometimes, like, in Boston, Junichi Suzawa, like, he had two or three chances at the close. Yeah. Every time they put him in the ninth thing, he just pissed his pants.
Yeah.
You know? You know that's not going to happen with Sung Hwan.
Cool,
he wanted to be cool.
Yeah.
But with a guy like Oh, who, you know, the final boss, Stone Buddha, his massive, awesomely nicknamed self.
He's got some great nicknames.
Yeah, from Korea. He's the Mariano Rivera over there, basically.
Yeah, so what are the chances that he gets into the ninth and has any sort of problems with it? It's not going to happen.
I have supreme confidence that he will. Yeah, and I mean, once you've seen him, you know, slam the door so many times, how can you go back to a guy who was walking eight guys per nine innings?
Yeah, and Rosenthal's always been, like, he's had 40 save seasons and he's had a lot of success, but he's also been shaky because of the walks. And he's never been a dominant closer. He's always had relatively high ERAs for a closer. He's never been he's just put up really good save numbers because they always kept him in the role. I don't feel like he's ever had a dominant season, because he always has trouble with walking batters, and I've owned him more than one season, and he's a frustrating guy to own. Oh is not going to be around for the next 10 years or anything. He's 33 already. You don't know how much, you know how long he's got left. But for the rest of this season, I think he's the Cardinals' closer, and I think he's he could be a top 10 closer.
Absolutely. And as far as closers go, they pitch one inning at a time, so you can see them pitch well into their 30s, too.
That's true. He could pitch till he's 40, you know. So
I think so. So, I mean, he's going to be owned in pretty much all dynasty leagues.
I mean, he was drafted in our first-year player drafting. Or whatever. I don't remember how deep it went before somebody took him, but...
It wasn't
not
the first
very.
Round. No,
did he go in?
Not the first round.
Yeah. And I think people probably, myself included, people probably were sleeping on him a little bit because, you know, they're like, oh, Rosenthal's there.
Well, it's one thing
it's
if he's...
It's hard to envision Rosenthal.
Yeah, if they have a Fernando Rodney, who's a bad example because he's been, the best closer this year.
Well, he does have that zero ERA.
He finally gave up a run.
Oh, that's
too
bad.
The streak is broken. But, I mean, it's not like you had somebody at the back end of that bullpen that was just a tire fire waiting to get replaced, you know, so that drove down his value quite a bit. Anyway, so we think Oh's the guy there. This one's a little murkier. Alex Colome has just been sent to the DL, although it's backdated retroactive to the 15th or 19th, because he hasn't pitched since then. So he's got biceps tendonitis, so he might only miss another week. The minimum stay would bring him back within a week. So in the interim, though, who's going to get the saves for the Rays?
Well, so, I mean, if you're fabbing out there, you're probably...
Always be fabbing.
Then you gotta always be fabbing.
I'll be fabbing, son.
Yeah, me too. Like that's...
Some people dab. I fab.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. I don't know what either of those things mean, but...
Of course not.
Nah, I don't. I think, is it what Cam Newton did? Is that what it is?
That is it.
What is...
Correct.
Where does
it's definitely out? What he did, because it's not what he's about to do.
What is he about?
I don't know.
Losing Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Like Jinx, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Jinx, Coke.
I'll go get you a Coke.
Get in Coke.
All right,
good.
Hold on. I got to take a break and get Jesse a Coke.
All right, before you do, who are you taking in the Tampa Bay bullpen?
I like Erasmo. I just like him. He's not...
It's a good name.
Yeah, good name, Eraser. He doesn't have a lot of strikeouts this season, you know, like well under a strikeout per inning. And the other guy that you mentioned...
Xavier Cedeño, he's the lefty.
He's got better strikeout numbers, so maybe more typical closer stuff. But I think they trust Erasmo. Like, he's been one of their... Well, I mean, he's got 31 appearances.
Yeah, they've used the hell out of him.
They're using the shit out of the guy. So I think they'll go to him just because he's the guy they trust the most. But I wouldn't be spending much on him because, like you said, if it's only a week or two, like, you're just not going to get more than a couple saves. So you got to go with a very small fab bid on him.
Right, yeah. Very, very, very low bids in this circumstance. I honestly think... They might just do matchups here if it's going to be such a short amount of time.
Well, that's possible, too.
So you'd actually do have the lefty in
but
the
I just,
thing.
If I had to pick, I do think that they trust Erasmo, more than almost any of their bullpen guys.
I think that's pretty clear at this point, yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, really, so I say actual committee, and you say sort of the same.
I could see it, I guess. Like, just because they do have the righty-lefty, and they both have their positives. Erasmo isn't a strikeout pitcher, but he's been very dependable, and Cedeno has been striking out a batter per inning, and he's lefty. So I think they probably will do that. And you're going to get like three saves out of the whole situation, max.
Probably.
Unless it extends on for a while, and there's still the box looming, I guess.
The box looms.
The box always looms.
The box abides.
Yes, it does.
All right, we're going to take a break and come back for our feature segment. I was on a first date with the hottest woman in the world. In the world! After helping her into my vehicle and shutting the door behind her, I made my way around the vehicle. I really had to let one fly, and this was the safe time to do it. I gambled, and I lost. By sharting in my freshly pressed khakis. Rather than getting into the vehicle with her and embarrassing myself with a poopy smell, I jumped from a nearby cliff, and then I went to hell for sharting.
Shart Week. Save the khakis.
We are back for our signature segment, and what we are doing here is a little exercise where we go to Fangraphs.com, and Joe actually spoiled it last week. Way to go.
Yeah.
But,
I don't know. It's not like it's a secret. I mean, people know how to do this. Most people.
Well, not everybody.
That's true.
If they didn't now or didn't before, they aren't going to.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Jesse is waving me down.
It's a fun. He meant he didn't know how to do it.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought you meant we weren't recording.
Yeah.
Much different. We need to clarify our signals here. We need to be like a third base coach or whatever. He's doing the bum lick.
Oh, that was a really bad signal.
Boy,
there. Did not enjoy that.
Nope. Oh man, alright, so you go to the advanced leaders here on Fangraphs, and there's a option where you can just sort by ERA minus FIP, and it brings up the difference between, you know, obviously their with the ERA that they've posted so far and their fielding independent pitching, which is basically what they should have based on their peripheral stats. So they take the difference there, and we look at who has been underperforming the most, and the number one guy on that list is Michael Pineda, Joe.
Yes, and when we talked about him preseason, I think we were both like, do you remember the one thing we liked about him from the previous season, that stat that we really like to harp on?
The strikeout minus walk rate?
He's really, really good K minus walk.
Still the same this year.
And it's still good, let me see what it was last year, but, you know, and it's not like that's the end-all, be-all, but it's a stat it's a stat that I really like to use. It's just really dumbed-down way of looking at it. If you're striking out a lot of guys and you're not walking a lot of guys, things are good.
Right.
But the thing that bit him in the ass is last year and is biting him in the ass even more this year is home runs. Mm-hmm. So he's allowing a homer and a half per nine, and that's pretty terrible. 1.51 homers per nine.
Ouch.
And I guess luck stats, I mean, his BABIP allowed right now is 359, sorry, which, you know, that's the reason that everything's going so bad is ERA is so high. And he's actually striking out 10.37 per nine. Like, he's doing a lot of really good things, but he's not getting any results. I mean, his ERA is 5.5 right now. So, you know, and I mean, his FIP down at 389. Like, so the strikeouts, the one thing that's causing all the problems is just he's giving up way too many home runs. So trying to look and see if I really believe that that's unluckiness or he's just a pitcher that's like Chris Archer that's just going to keep getting crushed, and no matter what he does, he's going to keep giving up home runs. I mean, his home run for fly ball percentage this year is
got to apply it
17.1% on that this year. It was 14.7 last year, so a little bit inflated, but not much. I mean, so I think he's always going to be a pitcher that struggles with that, but I do think there's going to be some correction coming. He's also an injury risk.
That's another thing that I was going to bring up is even if you're buying low on this guy, so to speak, and that's sort of, you know, what we're going for here is whether we would shoot out some feelers to see if we can acquire these guys in trade. you know, yeah, you do have to factor that in, is he's hurt all the time.
Yeah, and he's been healthy for the whole first half, and that could...
And he's been terrible.
He's been terrible, so this is not great. But, I mean, like, you know, he's been terrible, yet he's striking out 10.5 guys per nine. Like, that those two things don't normally go together.
Yeah.
So just on the off chance that it has been somewhat luck-related, yeah, because he doesn't have to go down and have a 2 ERA the rest of the season. If he does get it closer to 3.75 or something like that, with those other numbers, he's going to be... top 25, top 30 starter.
Yeah, with the strikeouts. Yeah.
Yes. So, and like, you know, I mean, right now, I mean, what he really probably should be doing is trying to get a few more ground balls so he doesn't have quite as bad of a home run problem. And his ground ball rate compared to last year is down about 5%. So he is giving up more fly balls this season, and that's definitely not a good thing. So there's good signs and there's bad signs, but if you're going to take a chance on a guy that's striking out over 10 batters per nine is not a bad one to do.
Good place to start, for sure. Yeah, as much as I am not a Pineda guy, and I've been one of the lowest guys, I would say, in the industry on Michael Pineda for the last couple of years, I would, you know, if there's somebody that is just fed up with him and his 5.5 ERA, yeah, what the hell, I'll shoot you.
Yeah.
Somebody.
It's kind of an offer that it's kind of what the hellish to me. Just be, you know, yeah. I mean, he is the number one guy in baseball in this stat.
If they need a middle infielder, I'll give up Addison Russell, who it doesn't seem like is going to break out at this point.
Yeah. I mean, I think that would get it done very easily.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe you wouldn't even have to do that.
Yeah, I think you could shoot lower.
Yeah, I don't know. I was just trying to think of somebody, some position player that...
Get him for Alzmedes Diaz or whatever the hell that guy's name
Aledmus,
is.
Aledmus, yeah.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, there you go. All right, I guess we should mention a guy who we brought up earlier, Michael Wacha, in Barry's tweet. He's on this list as well. He has underperformed his FIP by .81 runs per nine, so definitely better times
on
the horizon.
Most people would say .81 and not .81.
.81. What's so wrong with that?
I don't know. Jesse's playing with a bag over there, and it's really distracting me.
He's like a cat. He just can't. He sees a bag. He's trying to stick his head in it. It's very inappropriate.
Usually, what we do,
usually
with him is we just give him a ball of yarn.
Yeah, it keeps him busy the whole night.
The whole show. That's what he does.
He's so cute when he bats at it.
Yeah, chases it around,
licks his ass.
Yeah, that's gross though.
Yeah, I'm impressive that he can do it though.
I know.
Yeah. Anyway, first guy I'm going to bring up, Aaron Nola, who is sixth on this list, 4.45 ERA to this point, 3.15 FIP, which is ERA minus FIP of 1.30, not 1.30, as some might say.
I just never heard anybody say .81. Usually you say .81.
Yeah, well.
Am I weird?
Suck it, math major. But anyway, he was a guy who was really cruising along, posting just straight-up ace-like numbers until the month of June hit, where he has just sucked balls in 19 innings. I sounded kind of Bostonian there.
He's sucking balls.
God, he sucks balls.
He's sucking all the balls. Oh. He tried to throw a ball, and they were all wet because he's been sucking on them so hard. So hard.
All right. Yeah, 19 June innings, 10.42 ERA. Let's see. Yeah, 4.62 woba. Not good. But really, overall, you know, I think it's just a little bit of correction. I don't think that he would be tiring out to this point, obviously. Like we talked about, gratuitously in the preseason, he threw, 180 innings last year?
I think so.
Which is why I bet the over on the 191 and a third innings.
192 and a third
innings. 192 and a third innings.
Don't short me that inning.
I wouldn't dream of it. But yeah, I mean, with... great strikeout and walk rates is strikeout minus walk percentage, 19.6%. Still great. Not giving up hard contact at only 26.9%. He is getting ground balls, 55.6%, which, I mean, that's just really good. Not quite elite, but that's really good. You know, he's throwing that curveball a lot more this year, which is, you know, where the strikeouts came from. I think we talked about this earlier on the podcast. We were kind of surprised by Nola's strikeouts this year. I always thought he was just going to kind of be a number three guy who doesn't get a lot of strikeouts.
I feel like we talked about that with a guest, but I can't think of what guest it would have been.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, Yancey, maybe.
Maybe it was Yancey.
Yeah.
Yeah, which would have only been like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And my memory is terrible. But anyway, I don't see a lot of really bad stuff here. Pretty decent swinging strike rate, so those strikeouts should stay around a K per inning. Yeah, I really, if somebody is thinking that he was just in way over his head in the first 2 months of the season and they're totally thrown off by this last month, I would absolutely go trade for Aaron Nola.
All right, then.
Okay. Guy number two for you.
I'm trying to decide just on my order of my guys, but I think I'll save my favorite one for last just because he's my favorite player ever. But John Gray is on the list. He's tricky because while he's on this list, I'd say that he's probably going to underperform his peripherals like his whole career, you know, like
because of Coors.
Yes, it wouldn't surprise me at all. And you know, like I haven't looked to see if all their pitchers do that because you just don't have to care about pitchers in Colorado because they all suck for years and years and years. Like, when's the last time you worried about a pitcher in Colorado?
Never.
Yeah, exactly. So
literally.
I mean, Ubaldo back in like 2008.
Yeah, even then, I don't think I rostered him.
No, but he had that once half a season where he was an ace.
Well, sure.
Yeah. Anyway, that was like, you know, that was damn near a decade ago, and I haven't thought about a Colorado pitcher since then. But he's the first one that's kind of made me turn my head a little bit and take a second look at him. So he's about, you guys talking over there about wine is really distracting me. Jesse,
we're only fingering each other. We're not talking about it. We're using hand signals.
Jesse tried to talk to me, and he realized he's not wearing his headphones, which is also very funny. But anyway, he's going to be tough. It's going to be hard to own it or to start him, even with how good he's been, he's still tough to start in Coors. But he's striking out 9.79 per nine. You know, strike or K minus walk percentage is 18.6. He's still gonna give up home runs just because he's in Coors, and with the amount of strikeouts he gets, you can absolutely start him on the road every start, and he could really be, you know, like a number two pitcher when he's on the road. So I don't know if he's considered that highly regarded, or if anybody's, you know, if everybody's really noticed how good he's been, and that Coors effect is going to really cause a lot of people to undervalue him. So, if at the very least, if you go and get him and just use him in the good in the good road matchups, well, in any road matchup, you could get you're not going to get a full ace because you can't use him for the full season, but if you just use him in his road starts and get to half an ace, that's not a bad strategy.
Yeah, I've been sort of touting him for over a month now on Fantastics with my write-ups. For some reason, a lot of my nights seem to have lined up with his starts, so I would look into it. And he's approaching one of those guys that I think we did mention him with Yancey too, but he's one of those guys that I think is bordering on startable in Coors.
Yeah,
he's the only guy that's even on the precipice at this point.
You probably still are, like, you know, if it's the Padres at Coors, you're kind of like, yeah, maybe I'll roll the dice.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he owns the Padres so far.
Well, and if it's the Cubs, you're like, yeah, I think, you know.
Well, sure, that's a pretty easy call there.
Well, sure. Well, how about if it's, like, the Cardinals or, you know, like a good offense that's not, like, one of the best.
Probably not.
I'd probably say no. So, yeah. You know, use him wisely and you could be pretty...
Use him wisely.
Just use him wisely, and you could be handsomely rewarded, I think. Because if he was anywhere else, he'd be a guy you'd be talking about as, like, you know, top 15 pitcher next year. I really think, you know... Yeah, Neil, like you said, when he was drafted, you loved him, and you were...
Until he got drafted.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, that year before he was drafted by the completely wrong team. You know, if he went anywhere else in Major League Baseball, he might be one of the top...
I would own him everywhere.
Yeah. And he just got drafted by the only team in the league that could turn him into, like, a number four starter.
Right, yeah. Yeah, take that elite profile with the slider and the huge fastball and turn him into mush. But
he's one of the only pitchers ever that looks like he's might be overcoming it.
Yeah. Yeah, could very well be. I love me some John Gray, at least on the road. Guy I'm going to talk about here, Dallas Keuchel, who is fifth on this list. ERA of 5.35 so far, which I am well aware of because he is killing me in the prestigious Dynasty Baseball League. But his FIP is 4.04, which obviously still is not great, but it's a lot lower, 1.31 runs below his ERA. If you look at his splits, he's actually been a lot better in June as compared to the first 2 months of the season. You look at the strikeout minus walk percentage. In April, 10.2%. May, pretty much the same at 11. In June, it's almost doubled up to 19.5%. He's getting more strikeouts, and he hasn't walked nearly as many batters. His walk rate has pretty much been cut in half this month. So that is a positive sign. I mean, really, it can't get much worse from what he posted in the first 2 months. You know, his velocity has been down this year, and I think maybe he's kind of learning how to, you know, pitch with a little bit diminished velocity a little bit more. So there's been some bumps in the road. His ground ball rate isn't quite as uber elite as it's been the last 2 years, where it's been over 60%. He's close to that at this point, 58.4. So again, not like super alarming, but you know, when you got to live on the fringes like that, it's, you have so much more of a propensity to get it rocked. And we see with his hard contact rate of 31.4%, which is way higher than the last couple of years where it's been around 20%. I mean, led to a much inflated BABIP of 334. You know, and you would think, I mean, that's a lot of hard contact, so that's why it's high, a lot higher than it should be, because with such an elite ground ball rate, your BABIP is supposed to start working its way down, you know, to a certain extent. So I do think that he's improving. He's getting a few more things under control. So I think that he'll be really cheap too.
Well, he was a guy that fantasy podcasts were talking about. Do we drop him? So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you're not going to have to give up much. And in shallow leagues, he probably has been dropped.
In some.
You know, in like a 10-team league or something like that. I wouldn't have blamed anybody for dropping him.
I guess not.
And that's the thing. It's like, how far do we really think these guys will bounce back? I don't think that he'll ever post in another ace season. You know, I think that if you are buying him, it's as a number three starter, since he doesn't give you elite strikeouts.
Yeah.
Like I said, in June, he's been over 8K per nine. But I think that his control will get a lot better. That's just, it's really weird to me how many guys he's been walking this year. With such, I mean, 64.1% first pitch strike rate. And he's walking way more guys than he ever has before. So, or at least, I guess I should say the last two seasons, because that's sort of when he broke out. Like the year before that, he was pretty crappy.
Yeah, he was
kind of like this year. But I think I would buy him low right now for dirt cheap as like a number three for the second half.
Okay, yeah. I mean, obviously, none of these people are people you want to overpay for. But
right, yeah. I mean, that's kind of the thing. Looking at this, you know, and we've talked about this before. Where, yeah, okay, the guy's ERA is 5.5, but if his FIP is, yeah, you know, 4.75, then it's you still don't want that
guy.
Yeah,
so I tried to. I did really, like, when you're looking through, like, you know, the Ricky Nolasco's on this list, so it's like,
yeah.
Big deal, you know. I mean, it just because it's going to be better doesn't mean it's going to be good. So,
yeah.
This is, you know, maybe I'll give this guy another half a season. Let's say Jesse's giving me the finger.
Did not appreciate that F bomb,
and not the finger like to start the show, but the other
no,
finger.
Or this the was, one that he touched his bum with.
No, I hope
just not. A little bit ago.
But I'm going to go one more round of Smiley. He's on the list as well as.
One more Smiley round.
One more round of Smiley. He's about close to a run as far as how badly he's pitching compared to, you know, FIP 4.41, not great. But 5.32 ERA, he's most people are suggesting that you drop Drew Smiley at this point. I've already picked him up when he got dropped for his last round of sucking. And now he really just had this another one more bad start against the Orioles. Like, I owned him in our Dynasty League. I benched him for that start. Like, I'm not starting people against the Orioles anymore.
No, ever. That's a bad idea.
Yeah. So, I mean, don't overreact to this start against the Orioles. They hit five homers. Who don't the Orioles crush right now? To me, when I look at his numbers, they look a lot like 2015. He's striking out over 10 K per nine, just the same as he was in 2015. His walks are pretty similar as well. The only thing that's different, like the biggest difference I see, left on base percentage has gone from 86.5% down to 68.3%. That's a luck based stat, you know. I mean, there's
a
some,
little bit.
There's
yeah,
some. I mean, there's some skill to it. Holding yeah. runners on base, obviously not giving up four run homers, which some people call grand slams. I don't know why I said four run homers.
God, you know, when was the last time you saw a guy give up a five run homer?
Well, that would be impressive. If anybody could do it, it'd be Drew Smiley right now. But he's still a guy that's going to strike out like 200 batters in 180 innings. So
assuming health.
Yeah, well, he's already up to 90 innings on the season.
So he's going to die soon.
Oh, man, Nathan. Don't derail me while I'm trying to wax poetic about my boy.
Wax on, wax poetic.
The reason that I like him is just because I do think he's going to be free. You know, like, compared to the... People, I think people were so high on him, and then he crapped the bed so much that I think people have kind of gone the entire other way.
Save the khakis.
Yeah, say you got to save them khakis. So now people are just, you know, practically demanding that you drop him, not even just suggesting it. And, you know, like K-minus walk, 21.3%. That's actually better than it was last year. You know, he's not walking anybody. He's just getting crushed right now. So if he just has kind of a reversal
maybe
fortune,
he should try to walk a few more or pitch outside the zone a little bit more as opposed to giving up bombs.
It certainly wouldn't hurt if he, maybe walk another batter per game rather than the home run. But
yeah, I think everybody would take that. You'd rather have a walk than a five-run homer.
All these five-run homers he gave.
That's killing you.
Killing you. But if some of those things can turn around, if he can strand a few more base runners, if, you know, I mean, at looking at it, it's not, I wouldn't blame it on BABIP or unluck as far as that goes. It's
unluck?
That's a word, I feel like.
It's a great word.
It's just the home runs. Like I said, Pineda is 1.5 homers per nine, and Smiley's at 1.9. You know, that Rays pitching staff is giving up
home runs
at an alarming rate.
I was alarmed when you said that.
Well, Archer is just as bad. And
I was fantasy alarmed.
Yes. Well, you do work there, apparently. I mean, Archer, Odorizzi, and Smiley are getting crushed at just this insane... Like, and it's all home runs, so...
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's not going to change. Maybe it's something they're doing down there.
They put a leaf blower in Tropicana Field there behind home plate.
Right behind the catchers. The catcher's holding it.
Yeah. How's nobody caught on to this yet?
What a bad idea. But if there is a chance. Just the guys that I picked, the people that I picked, they're all guys that are going to strike batters out. And if they can turn it around, the strikeouts will be enough to make them relevant. And he's one of the better strikeout pitchers in the big. So I'd still take a chance on him. And he's going to be free. Somebody's going to be willing to give him up for nothing.
Money for nothing. All right.
And yeah, if he has like three or four more bad starts, I'll totally jump off the bandwagon.
His chips are free.
Yes. Dinner's extra though.
Oh no. Okay. Well, my last guy is going to be Matt Shoemaker, the maker of shoes himself. He started off horrendously this season, posting a 9.15 ERA through his 20 2/3 innings in April. What?
Jesse's been
that
doing.
That perked your attention.
Listening. Jesse's been doing all kinds of really weird hand motions, and it's really throwing me off.
I thought you were trying to say that you owned him and you dropped him or something like that, because I wouldn't blame anybody for dropping him after his whole. He was almost unrosterable.
I guess April, muted myself and then unmuted myself, but I'm listening to you.
Okay. but he has turned himself around. He totally switched up his pitch usage after he saw that he was almost kicked out of the league after his horrendous April, and he started throwing his fastball less. He started throwing his splitter more than anything else, sort of taking a page out of Masahiro Tanaka's playbook, if you will.
Well, he does love that splitter.
Yeah, he's using it about 40% of the time. Shoemaker is, and since he switched to that splitter as his primary pitch, his ERA has dropped. May was 3.28. June so far is 2.14. I was fortunate enough to pick up on that, and I grabbed him in a couple leagues right as I, sort of heard that he had found that splitter and he was using it a lot more to great effect. And obviously, you're talking about with the strikeouts. You know, even if a guy doesn't bounce back to a huge extent, at least you have some strikeouts to rely upon. In April, he only had a 6.97 K per nine. May and June, it's been 10.5 in May and 9.64 in June. So people are obviously, and just elite walk rates, barely over one walks per nine.
Well, he's a guy that did it just 2 years ago, and you know.
Yeah.
He was like 16-3 that year. It was a big driver of his value, but.
Well, yeah. And that's not something to be counted on this year, obviously, pitching for the lowly Angels. But, we always harp on the strikeout minus walk percentage. In April, it was 5.8% for him. And since then, It's been 26% and 24.2%.
That's an improvement.
Quite outstanding, yeah. And so his ERA is still horrible from his awful start. It's still over 4, but his FIP, which I believe I mentioned, 341. Maybe I didn't. I don't remember. But anyway, this is something concrete that I'm looking at. It's a definite change in his pitch usage that has worked out tremendously to his favor, and I think that it's something that he can sustain the rest of the season. Still a little bit homer prone, but you hope that, you know, pitching out in LA will, you know, that's a big park there, so that'll hopefully help keep that under control. And but I mean, I think that he could post number 3 numbers for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I like that, actually. I picked him up in our 10-team league for a 2-start week, and, you know, he's always been like his head's on the chopping block every week when I consider when I consider who I'm going to drop.
Right,
him.
Well, that's a league of streaming.
But I haven't dropped him. I've owned him for a month now, and it's like there's really no reason to drop
him. He's been terrific.
He's been too good.
Yeah. So he's a guy who still might be flying under the radar a little bit. You know, people just, a lot of people don't dig into the numbers like we do. You know, they just say, oh my God, he's got a 4.12 ERA.
Yeah, it's possible.
He's not that great, but he's also a guy who might not even be owned in all leagues, in shallow leagues. He might still be on the waiver wire.
I could check.
But he's a guy who, even in a shallow league, I would roster. I would rather have him than Dallas Keuchel, for example, who I just said I would send a low ball offer to. Shoemaker's already been doing it for 2 months. It's just nobody's really noticed.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like he's 58% owned in Yahoo, so
58.
Yeah, that's low.
Okay. Yeah, so he's probably snatched up in all but the very shallowest of leagues.
Well, yeah, I mean, but 10-team leagues and 8-team leagues, which apparently exist. I don't know if he's an 8-team guy because I have never played an 8-team league, but definitely I think he's a 10-team league guy. I buy it. Just, you know, I didn't buy into him I think it was last season, preseason, because a lot of people were saying they kind of liked him and bought into it, and I didn't myself, and then it totally was validated during the season because he had a garbage season, and he had a garbage start to this season, so he was so bad that I think it might, that more so than even this season, is just that last season, and people were kind of poisoned on him because he disappointed so much. He went from being a guy that people thought was going to be a top 30, top 40 pitcher to totally fantasy irrelevant and a guy that was in the minors and looked like one of the worst pitchers in baseball. So maybe people still have that impression of him. Although if they own him, they probably don't. But
well, not if they've been starting him for the last 2 months.
No.
Okay. Well, we're going to hear from Jean-Claude Fantasy and be back to send us out.
Wrap it up.
Oh, well, hello again, and welcome back to the Nasty Cast. This is Jean-Claude Fantasy reporting again on your French sticky cheese pickup of the week. This week, I was, before the show, I was sitting around with Jesse Jordan. We were drinking that fine French wine, and we even had a nice helping of macaroni and sticky cheese. It was delicious, and we talked about what we should do if we need some stolen bases. And I said, why don't you go out and pick up Travis Jankowski? He's Sebastian Jankowski, famous Oakland Raiders brother. He, in 2013, he stole 71 bases, and in France, I think that would be a very large number. He's guaranteed some more playing time with an injury to one John Jay, is headed to the disabled list, and I say go out and pick up Travis Jankowski, your French sticky cheese pickup of the week.
Thank you, as always, to Jean-Claude Fantasy for that glorious report on Travis Jankowski. I can only assume that's who it was.
You got it, buddy.
I was not present.
I'm sure the Brexit.
I think it was
we'll
just
really appreciate
just
him
and Jesse were sitting around drinking wine, but
we were.
Yeah, stinky cheese. Was it that involved at any point?
In a way.
Okay. You know, we drank a lot of wine. We ate some stinky cheese.
Any omelette du fromage?
And we talked some baseball.
That's actual words in French.
What do they mean?
We did talk about brisket.
Oh, that's the only thing you know how to say is cheese omelette.
We talked a lot of Brexit.
Did you?
Apparently, he didn't
it's
want
very
to,
topical.
He didn't want to record it. I said it'd be very topical if you made a Brexit joke.
Yeah,
he wasn't into it,
but he's a little down on it.
Yeah.
You know. Well, a guy like that, he's very proud, very French. He doesn't want Jesse telling him what jokes to say.
He is a proud French guy.
He is.
There's no doubt about it.
He's got a lot of that nationalism in him.
Yeah. He'd be a lot funnier if he listened to me.
He wears nothing but a French flag, if nude otherwise.
Oh, my. Yeah,
that's why I hang out with him.
Very hairy.
Because he's very good looking.
Oh, yeah.
Very stinky. Yeah. Anyway.
Smells very bad.
Look out for our next podcast, which is coming up right quickly. We're about to record it right now. It might not be released at the same time. We'll see. We're going to keep you guessing. You'll never know what's happening.
You'll never know.
You'll never know.
We might release it in 2024.
We might. We
That's
talked about that.
That's a good point.
But it is shaping up to be an epic battle of...
It's a tournament of champions.
Quote-unquote champions. Battle to the death, of course. That's what we do here.
It's all we could do. Like, literally, We're very impatient people here, so we couldn't just, like, come up with three or four more ideas and then make it a battle of 16, but, yeah. You know.
I think the bottom line, like, somebody had the idea that we do this, and then at that point, I don't remember, but not only would it have been more work to do all of it, but then we had to come up with another idea. It's like, ideas are hard. If somebody throws out an idea, I think we should be like, yeah, done. That's an idea.
We're never not going to stop with death match madness.
We're never not going to stop.
Never not going to stop.
We're like pop stars.
We're going to have to intro this segment soon, so let's not run out of jokes.
Yeah, all right.
Okay.
We're going to actually close this one out.
I think
we
ran out of jokes a few years ago, to be perfectly honest.
If we ever had any in the first place. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, the Fantasy Gods.
Short week.
Actually, short week.
Fish and chips.
Thank you. Thank you to Dr. Fish and Chips.
Christ almighty.
Oh, blindly.
I'm so glad that I'm not muted anymore.
There's a didgeridoo in the corner.
Oh, my God.
That's